Sounds good. I will call our Wake County Budget Subcommittee February 17th meeting to order. Looking at Daryl's agenda, so roll call first. I thought about this. Maybe the easiest thing to do is, I've got a notepad. I'm going to go through each region and just identify who the voting rep is. I don't think we've got any voting actions today, but just in case, I put the list. So, North Region, could somebody identify who the voting rep is today?
Hey, Chief Bill, this is Tim. I'm here.
Okay. Thank you. South Region.
Chief Smith, I'm here.
Thank you, Chief Smith. East Region.
Chief Privet, can you hear us? Shake your head up. There you go.
Hey, Chief Privet, I'm here. Can you hear me, Daryl?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got you, Chief Privet. West Region.
Jeff Maynard's here.
Chief Maynard voting for the West. And then our citizen rep, Nancy Anderson.
I'm here.
All right. Did I miss anybody? Okay, Daryl, we're taking a roll call. Approval of minutes. They're recorded due to the virtual, so I don't think we need to do that. We don't have any old business. I think the main purpose of today is for Wake County staff to present our FY22 budget request. So does anybody else have any items they would like to add to our agenda today before we get started? Okay, hearing no other items, we'll move to new business. Daryl, I'll turn it over to you and Michael Gammon.
Thank you, Chief Poole. So today we will be doing the FY22 full request that we have received from everyone. Most everyone got their budgets in on time. We just kind of got through putting this together yesterday afternoon, so I would expect that there are probably some mistakes. So as we go through it, if you see something that is not correct, please let me know. And Chief Poole, I'll ask, do you want people to ask questions as we go through, or you want to hold the questions to the end and go back? How would you like to do that?
No, I think we're better to just pause along the way, especially with as many requests as there were, to give people opportunity to clarify. So if you're okay with that, and everybody on, if there's something that anybody has a question with, let's take it as we go.
That works for me. Would you like, I tell you what, we'll start out, and guys, if I don't explain your request kind of like you think I should, Chief Poole, is it okay if they pop on? Because, you know, I kind of do one-liners in here.
Yeah, no, I agree, especially virtually. You know, if we were in our normal group setting, it would make it easier to communicate. But with this type of medium, I think giving people the opportunity to step in is probably the best way to do it.
Okay. Let me know when you see my screen.
I can see it.
Cool. Okay. Give me one second here. I got to figure out how I'm going to move this along. So, Matt, did I want to make sure this is going right, because I don't know that I've done a PowerPoint on Uber yet. Are we on the one that talks about the dates?
Yeah, you're on
cool.
The FY22
okay.
Budget Development Calendar.
Cool, okay. So the budget submittal deadline was January 22nd. We have had virtual meetings with all the departments. Today is not February the 15th. We had to move it back a little bit, but we are sharing all the requests with the budget committee today. We do have meetings the rest of this week with all the individual committees to discuss the request and prioritize them, rank them, and get them ready to come back to you on March the 1st, where we will share the first recommended budget with the budget committee. We will then come back on the 8th for a work session, and then on the 15th for a recommended budget, unless y'all get there on March 8th. March the 30th is a budget presentation to the county manager. That will be virtual. We will most likely do a WebEx, very similar to what we do with the fire commission on that. And then, of course, April 15th, the fire commission meeting where they get the budget and hopefully recommend it moving forward to the Board of Commissioners.
Hey, Darryl, on that, are the times set for those dates? Are they all going to be at 9:30, or is that, we not identified those yet?
Matt, I think we are at 10, but I can't get back to my screen right now. So it remind me at the end, and we'll set those times, okay?
Okay.
So FY22 considerations, obviously we're still looking at impacts from COVID. I'll let Michael talk about the projections and savings in a few minutes, revenue outlook, long-range plan, data-driven decisions into the future, and then, of course, we always talk about new stations most every year. So here is a picture from 3-year operating expenditure change, and this is based on the FY22 your base request. You can see the percentage changes over on the far right, and the plus or minus on the cost, again looking at 3 years, and then of course the totals at the bottom. We did for Knightdale, we just combined, looked at the alert. I'm going to leave that up for just a second, Chief Poole, so everybody has the opportunity to see it. Kind of broke it down into cost share and then the 100% county funded. I will say right here, you know, the 100% funded, you know, it shows that they got a little more. So for me, that shows that the cost share is working. As the towns grow and annex more, some of the burden right around the towns becomes more on the towns. Here's a snapshot of a 3-year cost share percentage change.
But there, just along the way, Chief Smith has requested the board the presentation at the conclusion of the meeting. I want to acknowledge that message, and I'm making some notes as we go. So at the end, we'll just summarize any requests that people have. So that's one I'll add to the list. If after our meeting, this could be sent out to the group.
Absolutely. And the reason I didn't send it out early is we didn't finish it till late yesterday afternoon. I actually done some tweaks this morning.
Yep. I understand.
Yep. You'll notice that most everybody went down except for Holly Springs. That is a direct result of the South District realignment last year. Michael?
Good morning, everyone. So, you know, traditionally we don't necessarily spend a lot of time on the model at this meeting, but I did want to give you kind of a financial overview of where we are at this point. So right now, we have not received any revenue projections for the fire tax district. I should be receiving them this week, which will give us plenty of time to update the model with those results before the March 1st meeting. But with that, you know, that means we don't have a fiscal year-end 21 projection of what the revenues are, and nor do we at this time have a fiscal year 22 picture of what the revenues are going to be. But even with that, you know, we know about the structural imbalance, and it is very safe to assume that there is not going to be capacity for expansions within the natural revenue growth of the existing tax rate. There might not be much room for the base requests within that natural revenue growth. But once we receive those revenue projections, we'll certainly update the budget model with them. That'll also allow us to do a fiscal year 21 year-end projection to see where we anticipate this current fiscal year to end, to see, you know, incorporate any possible savings from revenue growth and expenditure system-wide, to see if we can leverage any of that to help the model. As I mentioned, we're all aware of the structural imbalance. The needs continue to grow while the tax base shrinks or doesn't grow necessarily as fast as the needs do. And we the projected tax increases that we built into the model last year that we showed you are still going to be required in order to balance our seven-year plan. Last year's adopted 21 through 27 operating and capital model projected a 1.17 cent tax increase required for fiscal year 22.
Chief Poole, I think it's, or for the group, it's important to note too that if we do not get that 1.17 cent tax increase this year, that would mean significant cuts across the board, even into operating. Michael, is that a correct statement?
I believe so. You know, like I said at the top, the natural revenue growth that we will probably see from the existing tax rate probably is not going to be enough to handle the growth in just the base requests, let alone any expansions.
So, Michael, outside of the fire tax district, I was reading, and I noticed that at least for Garner, their revenue projection pre-COVID or during the COVID, they've actually taken in a much higher revenue than what they projected. And I read an article there were several municipalities like that, and there was a blurb about Wake County's revenue projections were conservative as well. Can you speak on the other side of Wake County is and give an update on that? Is that true? Is sales tax and those things higher than what was projected in the last budget process?
Sure, I'll make a comment on that. So you're correct, Chief Poole. What we've seen so far on the county side, the general fund side, especially in relation to what sales tax collections have been so thus far through the fiscal year, obviously they lag 3 months behind. You know, our most recent collections are from 3 months previous. But what we've collected so far is above, not significantly above, but absolutely shows growth over the previous fiscal year, which is not what the county had projected or included in our budget, and that's not what the municipalities were necessarily projecting or included in their budgets either. What I'll comment on about the fire tax district is obviously we're solely dependent on property tax collections. We don't have any sales tax collections that impact us. So, you know, we knew going in that there might be an impact on our property tax collections in the tax district as a result of the economic downturn, but it's a little bit more certain. Obviously, people are a little bit more certain to pay the property taxes than they are to go out and maybe necessarily buy things that will generate sales tax revenue. But with that, I'll say collections year to date in the fire tax district are right on par with where they were in previous fiscal years. So thus far, they might be a little bit behind, but there hasn't been a massive negative impact on property tax collections in the tax district. And that's what I would expect once we receive the revenue projections from the tax administrator's office to show that fiscal year 21 revenue growth is going to meet or exceed our budget, and that there should be some strong growth for 22 projected in there. But we'll just have to see what those results are once the tax administrator's office has them prepared for us.
I appreciate that, Michael. I had read somewhere, you know, when we started looking at last year, I think everybody was
overly conservative for good reason about projected revenues. But I also read that generally when sales tax or that side of the house revenue, the projection increase, then also these property taxes too, because if people are buying miscellaneous things, obviously they've generally taken care of their, you know, their tax bills and those things. So they can be correlated somewhat. I just wanted to confirm that through you, make sure I wasn't reading some bad information.
Thank you, Chief Poole. Also,
Hey, Chief Poole, this is Chief Poole. Could I make a comment? I don't mean to go backwards, but on that slide before, I just need a quick question with Michael. I was trying to unmute a while ago before you changed, but Michael, on Rose's end, does that don't include you correcting those things you and I, we talked about last week at our meeting? You remember we had those numbers, we fixed the pooled overtime, but the other operating request, did that, I don't think that includes fixing that like we talked the other day, does it? That hadn't been done, has it?
I believe it does. What the number there is reflecting is going to show you the results of the most recent cost share percentage.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say last year's adjustment from the hold harmless might have been, if you only looked at 20 to 21, might have been like a reduction of 130-something thousand.
Right. Well,
and so the further reduction of the cost share is going from the 130 to the 157 that you see there.
Chief, that base budget request though, was that up what we had talked about the other day? I was thinking it was more than that. We made those changes and everything. Were you going to make those changes? Does that include that?
To my knowledge, they do include all those adjustments that we made.
Chief Privet, and what you're seeing here is with cost share applied, as we get deeper into slides, you'll see what your actual request was. That may be okay. A better place if you got a question about it.
Okay, because that figure is mighty low compared to what our operating is going to be that we talked about. So, okay, I'll wait till we get to that part. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
And Darryl, while we're paused, just so you know, Chief Cohn reached out via text. He's still participating in that live burn upgrade. So anything regarding Nightdale, we'll just follow up with him afterwards.
Okay. Michael, I don't know if you were going to get to it later, but that 1.17 cent tax, that's kind of really the gauge that Michael and I look to make sure we're at or below. That does have to carry us through this year and next year as we try not to do tax increases but every other year and on off election years, correct?
That's correct.
So here's just kind of a snapshot. This does not include system-wide and capital replacement models. So these figures here, you know, don't include trucks, don't include ticks, doesn't include system-wide. So cost share departments requested $75.5 million. With cost share applied, it was $22 million. 100% departments requested $27 million. So that's a total of $103 million in request, or $50 million with cost share, which is almost double our budget. Thought I'd throw that out there. Michael, you want to talk about these?
Sure. So this slide is showing how we've applied merit right now in the budget model. We are assuming a 3% merit pool applied July 1st. Of course, as I shared, probably in each of our department meetings, this is the rationale Darryl and I are moving forward with right now. Obviously, it's a little bit different than in previous years where we went into the process absolutely assuming to have merit included. It's like good news, bad news this year. The good news is we're absolutely including it in the model right now. There have been no firm no's. We're not doing it. The bad news is obviously we'll keep our eyes on COVID and how the economy keeps doing or performing, and there could be an adjustment to it down the line. But right now, we have merit included in everybody's base budget request and included in the model. what I'm showing you here at this slide is a little different than probably what we saw in previous years, where we would show you the annualization of merit and then what the new merit would cost. But because we did not include merit in the budgets last year, all we really have to show you all this year is what the net impact of adding merit back in will be. And we've broken it out by the cost share departments and the 100% county funded department.
And Michael, to kind of cap on that, because we're applying merit full fiscal year now, the county made that change last year, even though we didn't do merit, we won't have any annualization from this point forward, correct?
That would be correct. Now, I'll also say this. We're going to try to mirror whatever the county does. And so, you know, 3% applied July 1st is just how it's in there right now. If the county does something different, if we go back to how we used to do it, you know, only applied across 9 months, we'll probably be looking to make that adjustment here in the fire tax district. But absent any of that additional information right now, I've programmed it in here right now, and everybody's comfortable with it right now this way. And you're correct. There wouldn't be any annualizations if we continued to do it like this.
So here we're getting into the base budget request. This is the 100% funded departments. We show what the FY21 approved operating budget request was, and then what the FY22 request is. You also notice the change in the far right column. You know, a lot of that has to do with merit. Merit's a big piece of all that. When you look, it's $364,000 increase. We did, as we met with the departments and talked through their budgets, anything that we felt like was out of their control, like if their spectrum bill went up or utilities or cost of fuel or something like that, those are applied in there as well as the vehicle, you know, our methodology. As I spoke with the apparatus committee yesterday, most everybody is very satisfied with the way that the vehicle maintenance methodology is working now. I think it's finally catching up to where it needs to be. So some of those budgets were increased because of that. I mean, although not a lot, $5,000 or $10,000 per department would add up. Michael?
So Daryl showed you on the previous slide that 100% county funded departments base budget request increased $364,000 over the fiscal year 21 adopted. If you broke it down into the different items or categories of where that change occurred at in their base budget request, I've broken it out for you here. And you can see the vast majority of that is the vast majority of the increase is because of merit. We also had sizable increases because of the Elders rate change increase from, I think it's 10.15 to 11.25. And then there was also operating costs, uncontrollable operating cost increases, and as Daryl referenced, updates in the vehicle maintenance methodology.
Hey Daryl, can I pause for just a second on this slide and pose a question?
Yes, sir.
So it just hit me looking at this only because of the Elders, and you know, so this, I don't think this is something that we'll have to tackle now, but have y'all thought about, you know, I'm sure you're following the legislation like we are, and the probability of nonprofits entering the Elger system is probably the most promising that, at least since I've been in the fire service, that they may have a chance of doing that. If that occurs, has anybody forecasted the increased amount that would go there, or is the percentage that y'all are giving these departments to put into other supplemental retirements, would that just roll over into Elgers, or would it be a cost increase if all the nonprofits were allowed to enter in that system?
It would be a wash because we already fund their whatever retirement they're using, we fund them at the exact same rate that Elgers does, and we make those changes when they happen.
Correct. There could be some implications, Chief Poole. As you're aware, you know, sometimes when a municipality or a department like this might buy in later, they might over a certain period of time have like a catch-up contribution or like a little bit of a different percentage to help them get where the entire plan needs to be. And so that could be one possibility of that happening into the future. But as Daryl referenced, the way we apply 401ks and retirements throughout the entire fire tax district right now, we're using the same percentages whether you're in Elgers or not in Elgers.
That's great. Yeah, it just hit, and I thought that's what it was. Y'all, you know, I think it's what 12%. But I just wanted to make sure if we're trying to forecast things, if that comes, that we have at least addressed it. So it sounds like that's not going to be a large budgetary impact if it does happen, which we all hope it does. So, okay.
And Chief Poole, we are Chris Dillon, who is the county's legislative representative. He is aware of that. I saw that when it first came out, so he is watching that as it moves.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
Yes, sir. So we showed this before, but here is the cost share percentage updates. It's kind of a repeat from the slide earlier. The slide earlier had some funding involved as well, but this is the percentage change. And again, Holly Springs was an increase because of the South District redraw last year. So cost share based budget requested, you have their approved 21 budget, what the approved county appropriation was in 21, their total base budget request that the county would share on, which is important. We filter that out. In other words, so if Apex is putting in 12 million, and we're only cost sharing on 7, that's what we show here. It gets confusing. So this is the filtered version. FY22 predicted cost share amount, and then the changes from FY21. We'll note that Garner had a equity pay study performed by the town that has been applied here. Chief Poole's aware that we're going to have some further conversations about that. So just making you aware of big numbers there. Knightdale's was getting their people into their system. And then Wake Forest, if you remember last year when Wake Forest merged with the town, they had to get their people into town pay bands and so forth. That was about a $600,000 increase last year. We did not cost share on all of that. We asked them to do a phased roll-in. So this is the second, a large sum of that is the second part of that phased roll-in. Of course, you know, the merit and all that's built in this year as well, but just pointing out the three big numbers on there. Any questions? Chief Privet, here's your, so there's your budget request. It is more than last year. You there?
Okay. Yeah, I see it. It's matching up with what I've got in here now. So
okay.
That other figure was confusing.
Gotcha. Michael?
So similar to what we did with the 100% cost share departments a few slides ago, Daryl just showed that cost share department wide base budget request increased $988,000 over the fiscal year 21 adopted. We've broken that down for you here. Obviously, large increases related to merit being added back in, some operating and part-time increases as well, and then what Daryl was alluding to, the results of pay equity studies and mergers, and you know, with the transition from Knightdale, from Eastern Wake, you see that salary and benefits line item, the county share of that increasing $490,000. So those are certainly large areas where those changed. The large decrease in volunteer cost share to the cost share departments is also as a result of Eastern Wake transitioning to Knightdale. Knightdale did not include in their base budget request the same level of volunteer compensation or request is what was previously included on Eastern Wakes. And I guess that is also a previous, an important caveat as we look through here. When we look at Knightdale's budget through here, sometimes in order to make it comparable, you know, we're just literally comparing it back to what Eastern Wake's previous budgets were, even though Eastern Wake at that time was 100% county funded and not cost shared. Again, same information we just showed you. We're just putting the cost share total and the 100% county funded total side by side to show the changes and be able to compare each individual category.
Just a side-by-side of the adopted versus the base request, broken down cost share and 100% funded. So it's a you know, total change, if everything were to be approved, of $1.3 million. System-wide expense. Decrease in some areas, some uptick in some areas. I think I explained to most all of you during our individual budget meetings that the dispatch service went up $130,000, which is the big one on there. This slide is continued. All those are the same at this point. I will say that when we come back with this, I will most likely, on the staff recommended budget, target solutions. The CARES funding paid for that for January through December. I'm going to probably add it in and give you all the opportunity to talk about it in keeping that. A lot of stuff that I'm reading and seeing is saying that the new generation firefighters, the younger firefighters, will train more in virtual environments, so that Target Solutions is a virtual training tool. It is accepted by the Department of Insurance for training, so we may look at adding that into a system-wide expense. We're also working with First Due on a CAD integrated pre-planned software. We're narrowing down the cost on that. I think it's going to be in the neighborhood of $100,000 to $120,000. That the county would initiate that and run the contract. So my plan is to probably add it in. If y'all want to take it out, that's fine. The county would foot the bill completely for year one as we get it up to speed and integrated. And then I would be, before our meeting on March 1st, I will have some prices too, to say that when we get to FY23, we would be looking for the towns to implement that into their budget, and we can do one of two things. We can either, and I'll just use Zeglin for instance, let's say that Chief Perry's cost for First Due was $2,000 per year. The county could continue to pay that, and we just remove that from his appropriation, or we could have it billed to you as part of the CAD licensing and maintenance cost. There's several different ways to do that, but I do think year one, with getting it implemented, since it's going to be, it's a cloud-based, but since it's integrated with the CAD and all, probably the most appropriate thing to do would be let the county handle it year one and then move some of the cost out to the towns after that. But I will have those figures for you so y'all can make an informed decision at the next meeting. Is that fair enough, Chief Poole, on that?
Yes, sir.
Just a summary. When you add system-wide expenses in there, show them the appropriations and then that. So system-wide, at this point, only $133,000 increase, with the bulk of that being on the charge from Raleigh Wake, which is uncontrollable for us. I do know that they were paying for some dispatchers from 911 taxes, and I think a lot of the agencies across the state got hit with that. They found out they weren't supposed to be doing that, so that is part of that increase as well.
Hey, Darryl.
Yes, sir.
I have a question back to the pre-planning program.
Mm-hmm.
I know we spoke about this briefly, but emergency reporting, I know most of the departments have moved towards that, and there is a pre-plan module. Was there any look at using that instead of bringing another program on board?
So I may ask Chris Perry to answer that. We haven't looked at it from the county level. The beauty with First Due is it has a Community Connect tool, so it's 100% compliant ISO credit out of the box. It also gives the ability for law enforcement and EMS to see these pre-plans on the way. They're completely shareable, so if you're running a call into the city of Raleigh, it automatically pops up on the bottom down there, and you can get their pre-plans. So Chris, do you have any insight on emergency reporting's pre-planning?
The only information I had was that, you know, there was just so much more capability within the First Due product than what we're seeing in the emergency reporting product. So I think that's what was steering, graphically as well as capability. So I think that's what kind of steered that, Chief Smith, as far as I understand.
Okay.
Darryl, before you go any further, one question I had, and Chief Poole, but that system-wide expense, I know it's not a lot of money based on the total budget, but are we still using that snow plow thing that was at 50,000 years ago? That 60,000 on the snow plow, is anybody using that? I mean, is that being utilized or whatever? I wonder.
It was utilized a couple weeks ago, so there's a list of stations. So I would not be surprised today to get a call from Rick Stogner, and they pre-treat some of the stations up to the north tomorrow based on the weather forecast. So we are using it. It goes back to the fund balance for within the tax district, not the general fund balance. So it's not like we're throwing $60,000 away. It's kind of an insurance policy.
Yeah, if my memory serves me correct, we actually used some of that money a year or two ago for somebody's unplanned expenses. So
that is correct.
It's budgeted, but if it's not used, I know we've allocated it the difference at some point in time or another.
Correct.
Okay, good.
So, going into operating requests now, personnel expansion requests. There were 8 departments that requested $2.4 million. $2 million of that was for new staffing above current funding levels. The remaining $400,000 was for enhanced part-time, overtime adjustments, merit increases, and volunteer duty crews. For the cost share departments, garner an additional captain's position to kind of help out with their community risk reduction program. Fuquay Verena, addition of 1 firefighter per shift to cover vacancy rates, sick rates. You'll see that theme throughout here. I'm not sure if COVID kind of put a magnifying glass on that, but there are a lot of requests about an additional firefighter here or there to cover vacancy rates for vacation, sick, and other things. Zebulon, the same thing, but they have one additional firefighter that can float to cover vacancy hours. And then Zebulon also eliminating Kelly days, which is the 10th shift day of a month that causes overtime. Chris, do you want to pose a question to the group about who's doing that or not? I know we talked about it.
Yeah, I know some do. Some already pay employees, or I should say a lot of departments, especially those that are utilizing the 7K exemption, they're paying their employees. It's where either work as part of a component of their salary or paying them overtime. But we currently require employees to take off that 10th day. But that, along with that, comes the need to fill those days back with part time and what have you. So that's what we're trying to do is remove those Kelly days off the schedule so those people can be at work. So That's up to you whether you want to poll the group, but that's the intent of what we're trying to do.
Okay. Staffing request for 100% departments. Fairview, additional overtime costs for coverage of sick, vacation, and turnover. Addition of one part-time driver at Station 1 to get tanker out on weekdays. Provide assistant chief duty crew stipend for Station 2. Additional volunteer duty crew funding. Northern Wake's asking for a second company at Station 3, which is the station at Norwood and 50. Is that right, Chief Poole? I mean, Chief Pope?
Yes, that's right. That would be the engine and the ladder.
Gotcha. Also, the staffing for possible station in the Hook area. Staff three additional 24/7 positions to cover vacancy rates. That one is, you'll see that that's a lot less than what you see on the other ones. They did adjust their part-time money back, so that will be the total cost to the tax district to do that. Northern Wake increase assistant chief stipends from $6,000 to $10,000 per station. Increase volunteer duty crew funding from 3 to 6 per station. Swift Creek asks for merit pay increase for part-time staff. New Hope, addition of a part-time employee daytime and duty crew at night to get the tanker out. Additional FTE per shift to drive the tanker at Station 1. And Wendell, a battalion chief, as they have now gone to 3 stations. If anybody wants to elaborate, if I didn't explain it well enough. You always have that catch-all. This is the catch-all. It's operating miscellaneous requests that kind of don't fit in with the other committees and things that we got. So Fairview's asking for Power DMS software, creates, manages SOGs, etc. Additional uniform funding for Fairview. And Hopkins and Northern Wake had these. These are repeats from last year. Additional funding in their training line item.
Were any of these approved through the budget process last year and then got pulled at the last minute due to the COVID adjustments?
Actually, the Hopkins, on this particular slide, Hopkins and Northern Wake were both approved for their training line items last year. And when we get to, when I bring this back for a staff recommended budget, if there was anything that was approved in there last year, I will have it highlighted in a way that y'all can see it. Is that fair enough?
Thank you.
Yep. Get into the capital request, replacement schedules, and then expansions, facilities, technology, so forth. So you see FY21 column and then 22 requested. Chief Poole, I need to have a conversation with you later today, but I know because we've been talking about your turnout gear, but when we went into the 10% replacement on turnout gear, we knew that there were going to come times when there were big turnout gear purchases made from departments like in maybe 2012 or something like that. So trying to fix some of those, knowing that if we fix it now, hopefully if we're doing 10%, moving forward, everything will catch up. So I also incorporated an additional $25,000 in to the turnout gear line item, as y'all all have access to the testing machines now. So that is available for reimbursement if you're having to send additional gear to Minerva. We thought, Bud and I thought that would probably be a good thing to do as we're seeing some pinholes and things like that. Also anticipated a cost increase with turnout gear. And making sure that we're covering the particulate blocking hoods. So that is a significant increase, but I we got to protect our folks. Reduction in thermal imaging cameras, there's not many ticks on the replacement model this year. Reduction in defibs because of the cost of the unit has gone down. But I will tell you, we did leave some funding in there to help us get by this year with the pads. As I've spoken to all of y'all, you know, EMS is having some issues. They're carrying two different machines now on their trucks, and the replacement of the pads on site, they may or may not be able to do. So I had Bud order 200 pads already for this year to get your new machines, make sure that you had enough pads there. So contact our office for pad replacements if you do not get them. Don't argue with the EMS crews on the scene. If they don't do a pad swap with you on the new machine, just get with us and we'll get your pads replaced. Small capital annual allocation is the same now. I will tell y'all that it's a very good possibility when I bring this back to you that I'm going to have an increase put in there. And the method to my madness there is if we increase that to 200,000 this year and then maybe 250 next year, that should eliminate some of the capital equipment expansion requests every year that are into smaller numbers like atmospheric monitors and different things like that. And in doing that, if we come back with that bigger number, I will probably contact some departments and ask them to self-remove some of their small equipment ask when we get to that screen. That number has been in place, I think, since the inception of the fire tax district, and it's probably time to move that up a little bit. That also, I mean, that increase also is it's an increase for everybody. So I kind of look at it as if we can increase that, it helps the whole system. We do not have any small capital funded items in there yet at this time. Any questions?
Hey, Darrell, I had a question. I'm sorry about it. I had my mic activated. Look, on that small capital, that $150,000, how many departments is that divided by now with the mergers and this type of thing? It used to be 19. What is it, 18, 17? How many of them is it now that has divided out by?
It's divided out by 17, so that gives you, and I'm glad you brought that up because I do have one more point on that. That gives you around $8,800 that's not cost shared. So you get that included in your divided by 12 in your monthly allocations. I'm going to also ask the budget committee to approve and the fire commission that we do that in October of each year as one check instead of spreading it over 12 months. I think it's easier for y'all to track that way. I know it's easier on the municipal side when they have to deal with their finance folks instead of trying to figure it out over a 12-month period. You get one check for whatever the amount winds up being at one time.
That's good. Appreciate that. Clear that up. That's been our salvation for several years on buying little small stuff, hose, equipment, fans, or whatever.
Right.
And had a line item.
And if we up that to $200,000, that gives you $11,750 instead of $8,800. So that is, in my mind, it's a small but a decent size increase. I know hose and nozzles are outrageous, but I think it will help us out on the other side.
That should eliminate some requests.
Yes, sir.
Darrell, before you move on, I noticed in the chat box and I missed it, Chief Smith had a question several minutes ago. I just wanted to pause and make sure his question was answered.
No, it was.
You're going to have to read it to me, Chief Poole, because Chief Poole in presentation mode?
Yeah.
I can't see those.
Yeah, I had missed it. I'll pay attention, but we're good.
Okay. I've never seen a list this long in replacement, apparatus replacement, but as you know, there were all the small vehicles and brush trucks were moved out of last year because of COVID. So that is the reason that the FY22 list is so long. Everything you see here is already included on the model. The apparatus committee did unanimously approve this setup yesterday. They have already met. They're the one committee that actually met ahead of y'all as we were trying to schedule these. So this is sent forward from county staff and the apparatus committee as the 7-year replacement model. Capital equipment request, 100% funded departments. Fairview, replacement of outdated and damaged fire hose. Fairview, Polaris UTV for use at Crowder Park walking trails. Also an enclosed trailer to go along with that. I will tell you, and Chief Spain can elaborate if he wants to, that they have put in for a grant for both of these. If they are awarded that grant, Chief Spain, what is the county's cost?
To be $5,000.
So we do have a grant line item over where we keep like $25,000 each year for matching the grants. Chief Spain did go through the proper procedure of notifying me on that, so that, as you're supposed to by the contract. So again, he has put in a grant for those two. Also, replacement of rescue rope, carabiners, rope bags, etc. Northern Wake, this was a request last year that we talked about phasing in. We were going to do a half and half. That was taken back out when we did COVID, but that's to equip all his trucks with 1¾-inch hose and nozzles for consistency. When they merged, they now have some trucks with 1¾, some with 1½. Atmospheric monitors, also rescue rope and equipment accessories for Northern Wake. Then Wake New Hope, replacement of rip packs that are 13 years old.
Hey, Darrell, before you switch, can
yep.
you go back to those?
Yes, sir.
Hey, just in reference to the UTV, and I don't know if this is possible or not, but with the merger of Wake County EMS and Eastern Wake EMS, Eastern Wake EMS has a UTV, a Coyote UTV that Chief Vaughn helped secure. That we got one, Eastern Wake EMS got one, the town got two, one for the police department, one for public works. And I don't know where that will go with the merger, but there's a UTV sitting at Station 3 that Eastern Wake EMS currently has possession on. And it's already retrofitted in the back for carrying a stretcher. So I don't know if that's something you might want to talk with Chief Olson at Wake County EMS about, where that's going to go in the merger, but that's a piece of equipment that's sitting there that maybe another fire department could use instead of just sitting there, or Wake County taking possession of it, just sitting out there in the garage, out there in the warehouse.
I will delicately approach that. How about that? I've tried to keep my head down in all that, so you know, we didn't get shots across the bow.
Now that it's a done deal, you know, it's time to look at some of that equipment that either have surplus or something needs to be done with it. And like I said, I know that that UTV is sitting out there at Station 3, and it'd be interesting to see where it goes once the merger is complete.
I'll touch base with Olson.
Okay.
Thank you.
Darrell, on that note, and this may be for Chief Spain, Chief Staples brought it up, the request is for $45,000. What a Polaris UTV generally is nowhere near that expensive. What is that total amount for?
That's a
road. That number
correct? Yeah, that's a roadworthy UTV. So we could actually drive it right straight on the road from Station 1 if needed, with lights on it, straight into Crowder Park.
And the price on that, Chief Spain, for UTV is $45,000?
Yes, sir.
Chief Spain, I'm assuming that is retrofitted with the stretcher stuff in the back and so forth.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep. And with the extra lighting on it.
Chief Poole, if I may.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know if anybody has run across this yet other than us, and if so, if they can maybe provide some additional guidance, I'd appreciate it. But some of us probably remembers back when Chief Haraway, I believe it was, helped work with emergency management to get full gas monitors, and I believe it was CO monitors for us through some type of grant. We're being told by Pine Environmental that model of full gas monitor is there parts no longer available for them, and they're obsolete, and they can no longer repair them. We've got one currently out of service now. But is anyone else run across that? Because there was a large amount of monitors bought at one time through that grant, and I'm almost certain that, that these were part of that.
They were. The equipment committee brought that up, I think it was last year or the year before, about trying to do something to replace all those. And at the time, if my memory serves me correctly, based on the what I call low cost for each one of those, we said you could buy them out of your small capital money, the $8,800. Hence, again, the reason that I think it's time to increase that.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. I don't know if anybody else was dealing with that same issue or not.
Chief Pope, we have, and same issue that once they went in for repair, we end up having to replace them. They are obsolete with parts unavailable. So if one of those older units goes out, it will have to be replaced.
Thank you.
We replaced several.
Thank you, Chief.
Cost share departments, capital equipment request, Fuquay Bay floor cleaning machine, and I think that's at Station 2, Chief Malden, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Large diameter hose roller, miscellaneous equipment for the new ladder truck, this is a large area rope search system. And then this would be the last year of the phase SCBA bottle replacements. This is year three. Is that right, Chief Malden? We asked you to do a 3 year, and this is year three?
Yes, this is the last year of that.
Okay. Garner with rescue airbags replacement, hose nozzle and PPV fan replacement, replacement of their cascade system. They only have one that serves their four stations. Knightdale asked for four personal thermal imaging cameras, four SCBA rip packs, and three hose testers. And then Apex updated their dive team equipment. To my knowledge, they are the only dive team that we have in the county. That's the only county resource. And then updating also their PPE. Chief McGee, you want to elaborate on that any, or anybody else on your request?
Yeah, can you hear me? I'm on my phone.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. So ultimately, we've not been able to update our dive equipment for quite a while, and it's time. We do have everything up to standard, but we do respond all over the county and even outside the county with the dive team. And so we're just seeking some little bit of help out, because the fact of the matter is we really don't have the dive risk in Apex, but we provide it for the county. That's it for me. And it's, I mean, if I can, the same thing goes for the PPE. That's upgrading, you know, getting into some current, you know, dry suits and those type things to get to where they need to be. Because we're still, it's just time that we look to, if we're still going to do it, we need to upgrade and update. It's more of an update than an upgrade.
Chief Poole or Chief Alden, do you have anything on your request?
I don't. It's just all of our, none of this is new equipment. It's just replacing existing equipment.
I don't have anything else to add.
Okay. So planned renovations and repairs, you know that we typically budget $100,000 for planned renovations and repairs. It also sits with in the same line item for the facility condition assessments, which is $200,000, so it's a total line item of $300,000. There were $105,000 worth of requests from the 100% departments, 107 from the cost share, for a grand total of 212, but with cost share applied, 150,000. For the 100% departments, replace carpet and sleeping areas of Fairview Station 2. Chief Pope wants to get into Murphy bed business. I'm just picking on you, Chief Pope. He's actually, that is a way that they can use their current space at Station 4. Is that right?
That's correct. Station 4 has, each shift has to, they're using the same bed, hot bunking.
Northern Wake adding residential wash and dryer to Station 2. Swift Creek exterior painting. Swift Creek replaced carpet and training in dorm room. Wendell Fire Department installed panic hardware and card readers on Station 1 and 2. They do have card readers at their new Station 3, so this would kind of bring all that together where their people can card access in and out, typically as we do on county facilities. You know, Northern Wake's got that set up and a few more. There is a good possibility to go back to this Wake County becoming the sole EMS provider, that we're going to get Wake County EMS to take care of Station 2. So that number hopefully will be reduced in half or a little more. Also install a fire alarm that includes carbon monoxide monitoring at Station 1.
Chief, if I may, just on that that request on the residential, to me, that drew some attention to me when I saw it. The majority of that cost, over $3,000 of that cost, was from GSA to come in and put the electrical upgrade and also the plumbing upgrade, which I thought was a little much, but that's what Wake County GSA, being that that's a county-owned station. The residential washer and dryer didn't cost $4,000.
That's a nice one. The cost share departments, Apex, large ceiling fan installs in the bays at Station 4. Fuquay Arena, additional gear lockers at Station 2. They are also having some mold and mildew issues at Station 2, so the installation of a dehumidifying system. And then exterior painting at Station 1 and Station 2. And then seal coating of parking lot at Station 2. Garner with a radio room remodeling at Station 1, and then Roseville seal coating for their leaking roof. I'm going to go back a couple of slides. Remember that the total on this is $150,000. Hopefully that we can get that number reduced by about $17,000. If we can get EMS to take care of Wendell Fire Station 2's request for their card readers. So if we can get this number down from 150 to around 130, just remember 130, as we get into the facility condition assessments, you'll notice that I've only programmed in at 173.88. There were 59,500 on the 100% departments and 114,000 on the cost share departments. Because we have $300,000 in there, I felt like we could probably approve all the planned facility and repair items, as well as do these items for facility condition assessments, and it would really be just one less thing that the committee had to make decisions on. So hopefully we can get there. Facility condition assessments for the 100% departments, Fairview, repair and replace broken concrete at Station 1. Same thing with New Hope, surface at Station 2. Wendell HVAC replacement in dorm area of Station 1. And then generator transfer switch at Station 2.
Darrell.
Yes, sir.
I think on the painting at Fire Station 2 in Fuquay, I think that should be interior painting instead of exterior.
Okay, I'll make a note. Thank you, Chief. So interior painting at Station 2.
Correct. Exterior painting at 1, interior at 2.
Okay, I probably got a little happy when I was typing.
Darrell, in the current fiscal year 21 budget of those projects that were approved, was there any significant change in how much these projects actually came in at as far as savings? And if so, did that savings just roll into fund balance, or how was that addressed?
We are using that savings, so the generator project from a couple years ago has gone way over. So we're having to use that any savings there, as well as, if you remember, the items for Knightdale that we considered immediate needs because we were holding off on doing anything on the Hester Street station. And then there have been some other projects that have came in that we used emergency funding for. So, but if there is any savings there, it will roll into fund balance.
Thank you.
For the cost share department?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you go back to the I know we've got to redo the
somebody's echoing. If we could get everybody to mute, except for who's talking.
I know we've got to redo the utilization agreement due to the change of occupancy in Station 2. Is there a possibility that we could get savings from as that transfer switch will have that building DMS? Is there a possibility to get savings there, get some of that money from EMS for that repair as well?
I can try, but EMS has to follow the county's budget requirements. The tax district is a little different because the funds come from somewhere else. And they would have had to identify any large expenditures as CIP projects, and they would have had to have been turned in like back late December. So I'll check. And it may be Chief Staples, I failed to mention this early, and I'm definitely not, advocating against Wake County EMS or a fellow partner, but I would encourage all of you, if you have EMS staying at your station, they tried a couple years ago to do use agreements. I would encourage you to do use agreements and recoup some of the funding for that. I think they want to. They want to do that instead of doing these back-of-the-napkin equipment exchanges that were agreed upon years ago and different things like that. I think I know that they would rather do these agreements. So, Chief Staples, if you own that building, it may be where, you can do a use agreement with them on that. Facility condition assessment at cost share departments, Garner, repair and replace roof at Station 3, fire alarm install at Station 3 in Knightdale, and roof replacement at their Station 1. So hopefully we can identify what EMS is going to do, and we're going to be able to do all these. We are getting, in my opinion, we got a meeting, I think, today with the facility committee, but we're getting close to, I don't think we'll end up doing 10 years worth of FCA projects. Some of the items identified on there are coming up quicker, and we're doing them in different areas and different ways, and some of the items identified on there just really didn't need. They were code items that were current code that really probably didn't need addressing. So our facility committee will be taking a closer look at those. So new stations, 100% funded departments, the Hook Station, Wendell Station 2 is, he is wanting a remodel. That is a very small station. They probably sleep in an area about the size of my office, with a shower that's right in there as well. Also, the station on Old South and Penny Road, request by Fairview. Cost share departments, Fuquay Station 4, that is a EMS co-locate. That has been approved at the facility committee and will be part of this budget process moving forward. Zebulon's new main station has been tentatively approved with the county. That is just a relocation of a main station. I think Fuquay is probably a little ahead of Zebulon. I'll let Chris elaborate if he wants to, but that funding for that station, other than the money that was identified as last year for early design and all, probably wouldn't come into play till at least 23. Roseville new station in northern part of the district, western part of the district, and southern part of the district. And then Apex has made a request that was approved at the facility committee for station 6. The cost share amounts on the Fuquay and the Apex station were significantly different, especially on Fuquay. Apex wasn't much difference, but it's smaller because it's an EMS co-locate, and it lined up with the policies and procedures that the fire commission approved, I think, back in November. Those costs are costs right there, but they would be spread out over a 10-year window, a minimum of a 10-year window, as that's what the policies and procedures stated. So none of those are like $1 million or $1.3 million hits to the fire tax district at one time. Go back up to Wendell. Chief Staples and I have had a conversation. I think all of you that saw the fire commission presentation on the long range plan and the supplemental document that was provided by ITRE. I think over the next year, when we look at if that's approved by the fire commission in March, as we look at data benchmarking for different areas, instead of spending, and I just threw a number in there. Chief Staples actually didn't put a number in there for the remodel. I just put $500,000 in there. When you look at the location of Wendell Station 2 in regards to Wake New Hope Station 2, they are very, very, very close together. So it may be prudent for us to hold off if Chief Staples can get by and maybe see if the ITRE study pans out, the data benchmarking backs it up, that instead of spending money there, it may be better to just relocate that station to a different place. Chief, Northern Wake as well, I mean, when you look up there, the ITRE model showed the need for a station up there, so we'll be looking at the data as it comes out. At a possible station up there. We are doing some behind-the-scenes work on that now. Not nothing that we're going to throw a station up tomorrow, but just starting to look, and again, as we start doing data benchmarking, we'll look at those areas.
Yeah, Darrell, that was a plug number of $5 million, and just my opinion, there's not a need for a $5 million station up there. So I would expect that to come in, especially if we could get Wake County GSA to agree. A more rural type station that would be significantly less than that.
Right. So
Darrell, that Roseville station too is kind of like Chief Folks said. That's a plug figure. Whatever we got some figures a whole lot less than that, but the longer we wait, that thing keeps going up. So that's a plug figure. Yes, and I will tell you the town. On that, the northern part district up there on north end, that's real critical. The two studies we've done, they said we're already behind it. We should have done it a few years ago, because that's why I'm saying the town and the county, we're requesting to get together. We can talk about it later, but that's why I've been talking to you about that. The town's ready to, they're saying 2022-23 to really be looking hard at that up there. So we'll be getting back in touch with you about some meetings.
Yes, sir, we did those policies and procedures at the fire commission, so if the town submits the request, we will run them through there and put all the data together and come back with the correct cost share figure.
Because that part there, that part will never be inside the city limits. It's in the watershed, so it'll always be county rule, but they're willing, we need it up that way to protect both town growth and the rural area up there.
Yes, that'll
always be in the watershed. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. So next steps, had apparatus committee meeting yesterday. We have two other committee meetings today. I think one more later this week. So once we get through that, Michael and I will work towards the March 1st deadline to put together a staff recommended budget presentation back to the budget committee. Have two dates in there, and then of course the March 30th meeting with the county manager. And I think that is it. Yep. Chief Poole?
Thank you, Daryl. I've been making some notes before our review on some things going through. Chief Pope had asked to comment about something, but I'm going to hold, Chief Pope, I'm going to hold back to the very end, but I'd like to go through each region one by one, voting members, just to see if you've got any other questions, and then I'll summarize everything I wrote down. So I'll start with the North region. Tim Pope, any questions about the presentation today?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly. This is more for Daryl. Is we at this point we don't know what our revenue capability is, correct?
That's a Michael question.
Michael question. Okay.
Correct, Chief Pope. We just haven't received the latest assessment numbers from Tax Administration. They should be coming in this week. That's what they told me.
Okay, so going forward, I know we got meetings on top of meetings on top of meetings this week. But from the committee levels, how difficult is that going to make for us to be able to prioritize what we would like to try to move forward if we don't know what our capability is? How we plan to address that?
Well, Chief Pope, I don't know that we have ever, unless my memory's bad and it's getting worse by the day, we've never gone into a committee meeting and said, all right, guys, you got $300,000 to spend. The only committees we know that with are the facility committee.
Okay.
We've always said prioritize these and as one through whatever, and if there's money available, we will go by this list to put them in there. Michael and I have a general idea maybe of how much room could possibly be in there, but we also have to look at is that room is for 2 years because we get a tax increase this year, we're not getting one next year, so we can't, and I'm going to just throw a number out. This is not the number, but if it's $500,000, we can't spend all $500,000 this year not knowing what's coming down the pipe for next year.
Exactly. Okay. Like, I just want to make sure we have that going, but...
Yep.
Okay, I'll go to the South region next. Chief Smith?
I don't have any questions, just I guess a lot to absorb, and I guess we'll have some more time later on to have some discussions at once we get the presentation, get to look through everything.
Yes, sir. As soon as we get through with the meeting, I will shoot this out to everybody.
All right, East Region, Chief Privet.
I don't know if anything, like say, if you could, like say, send this thing out so I hear all our departments can take a look at it more in depth. But done nothing at this time.
The West Region, Chief Maynard.
No, sir. My questions are answered with some of the discussions.
And our citizen rep, Ms. Anderson.
It's a lot of information to absorb at this point, so I look forward to getting the documents on it.
Chief Poole,
before
you get into your list, I think it's one thing that we did fail to mention going through this. If you remember, we started last year setting funds aside for station construction and new stations so that when these come online in 23s and 24s and different things like that, it was not a significant impact to the tax district. We had also, because Zebulon and Fuquay's were somewhat approved last year, the model already includes that. Correct me if I'm wrong, Michael?
The model did include that funding for not just those two stations, but for the rest of them that we modeled out as well.
And how much did we set aside last year, Michael? Do you remember? I know we took the number down a little bit because of COVID.
Well, fiscal year 21's first year allocation was $455,000. and that was estimated to be the amount that we would, that we may need to pay our share of design costs for the two stations that, you know, we would have anticipated costs might show up in fiscal year 21. So it's $455,000 in 21, but then in 22 and 23 it goes up to $1.2 million, and then every year after that it's at $1.3 million.
Thank you, Michael. Chief, I thought that was important. We didn't mention it going through.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brad. We've heard from all the voting reps. There's a lot of other people on, so I'd like to open the floor up for anybody else to ask any questions or make any comments. Okay, hearing none, and Darryl, I just, as we were going through it, I think a lot of it got clarified. I just wanted to make sure everything. So Rose will have some corrections. I think I just want to make sure that was taken care of. Uquay had a correction, interior, exterior painting, so that's been corrected. Correct.
I'm going to correct it. Yep, I got a note wrote down. And Roseville's, he was only looking at his cost share side. I think he agreed that when we got to that other sheet, he saw his full amount in there.
Okay. And you're going to send the presentation out after the meeting. And I'll come back to this in a minute. We need to establish the meeting times if possible. And then I just wanted to summarize maybe some high notes. So Michael's filled in a 3% merit, which is, you know, it's not etched in stone, but that's a projection for existing employees. And if the apparatus committee has already met and agreed to prioritize the list that you have, the rest of the committees will meet today and tomorrow to prioritize theirs. And excuse me if I'm wrong, Darryl, but it looked to me just in the facilities funding that we normally have, the majority of those projects fall under those two thresholds that we generally have for planned facilities and the other requests. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I'm going to kind of borrow a little bit from the $200,000 to address all the, hopefully, all the planned ones that y'all submitted. I think that is the preferred method. Again, as we get closer to the end of that FCA, in my opinion, for me it was just easier. It's one less budget decision y'all have to make.
Okay, thank you. And then the last thing, I just to note, the small capital will more than likely just be a one-time appropriation rather than monthly appropriations this year moving forward.
That would be my preference. That is Diana's preference, and I think it, again, it helps y'all on the accounting side than having to, you know, figure out how much of your appropriation was the $8,800 every month.
If it makes Diana happy, that's what we want. All right, and then, so does anybody, Chief Pope's got some comments he wanted to make before we turn it over to him. Does anybody else have anything that we may have forgotten or need to discuss? Okay, and Darryl and Michael, I appreciate everything y'all done. This presentation's very detail-oriented. It lays out everything in an unbiased fashion, and I appreciate it. It's a lot of information, but it makes it easy to process. So thank you for what you did. And I'll turn it over to Chief Pope. He's got some comments he'd like to make.
Thanks, Chief Pope. This is unrelated to the budget committee, but being that we've got a large attendance in this meeting, as well as the upcoming meetings, I'm just going to try to bring this forward just for everybody's attention. Everybody should have got, all the chiefs should have got an email from the Chiefs Association outline our intentions to try to bring some to move forward some initiatives regarding cancer in the fire service. And I know this is a very sensitive area, but any help that you can help that you can provide in identifying and we definitely don't want to use names, departments, anything like that. We're just trying to look at numbers to see how big a problem we got. So for example, we've got five departments that have reported in the last 10 years, 26 cases of cancer in the fire service in Wake County, and six of those lost their battle. So we do have a problem. I don't think, I know myself didn't realize how big a problem we've got. and that's not just here locally, but across the state, across the nation. But our Chiefs Association board, our board, feels real strongly about trying to help push this initiative forward and trying to get some more inclusions on fire service cancers, as well as looking at additional benefits working with the state association and our partners around the state. So I know that people I know I was as well, very reluctant to try to, we don't do a good job tracking that information. So, you know, we have to do a lot of that on memory or what we know about our people. But the more numbers that we can report and show, the bigger we can identify this problem and be able to move it forward. So I just encourage, you know, if you got anybody, retired members, anybody within the last 10 years, that you can maybe just send me some information of, you know, the type of cancer, how old was the person when they were diagnosed. I know I've got several responses of members that had one type of cancer, and then later on within that 10-year period, another type came up. So any of that information would be very helpful in pushing this initiative forward on behalf of you and our Chiefs Association. Thanks.
Thank you,
Chief
Pope. Anybody got any other business?
Chief Pope, can you reset that?
Sure.
Okay, Darryl, I think that sums everything up. You or Michael have anything else?
We do not. You want to talk about the... we can do, if you want to do 10 a.m. meetings on March 1st, March 8th, and March 15th.
I'll just open the floor for comment. Is everybody okay with 10 o'clock meetings on the 1st, the 8th, and the 15th? Sounds good, Darryl.
Okay. I don't have anything.
All right, well, okay, I appreciate everybody tuning in. I'm going to set that as a motion to adjourn, and we will reconvene on March the 1st.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Y'all be safe.
Thank you.